from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
All right, let's get to our man TC here, 916-909-1320. TC, what's happening, baby?
Yes, sir. What's up with my two brothers?
TC, what up, my guy?
You know, I'm just vibing out. Hey, listen, before we get started, hey, I think that's going to be the new dude. I kind of like that dude. Four Bats, what y'all think about him? Y'all like him?
I'm over it.
I like Four Bats. He got a new song with Usher coming out tomorrow or tonight or whatever.
Oh, okay.
I want to hear what it sounds like. Right. I ain't gonna say he's my favorite.
No, there's nothing wrong with him. The whole album sounds exactly like the record, you know. and there's nothing wrong. Like, it's a whole, like, you put it, you won't know one song ends and another one begins. Like, the vibe stays the entire album.
Yeah, I do want to hear this Usher song, though. I wonder what that sounds like.
No, for sure. I want to get in on the Kings too. What y'all feel about Mike Brown? I don't know if I mentioned it earlier, but about his interview yesterday when he had that interview and people's kind of talking about how he didn't say Malik's the starter. I kind of like how he didn't do that, Kenny, because remember how when he put his foot in his mouth about Kevin Herter, I like how he said, you know what? I'm glad that Malik said that, but we're going to wait to training camp and see how everything plays out and may the best man win. I think if he would have said Malik's the starter right now, that would have, even though Malik's back and everybody knows what's up, that's still Russell and Feathers, bro. You don't need that going into training camp. Am I wrong looking at it that way, D-Lo?
No, that's exactly what Mike should have said. Like, you don't need to name your starters for October in July, especially. I mean, like, you know, Keegan's starting. Everybody knows that. You know, De'Aaron's starting. You know, Domas is starting.
Yep.
All right. I'm sorry, DeMar DeRozan is starting.
Yes.
Like, if there's one particular position that's in question, yeah, you wait. And here's the other thing. I know it seems like everything's done, and maybe it is, but maybe it's not.
Mm.
Maybe there's other moves to be made. Not big, grand, massive moves, but, you know, maybe there's a few roster additions to be made here and there. Maybe there's some front court help coming for Domantas Sabonis. Maybe there's the defending wing out there that's going to come off the bench that everybody has been talking about for the last few months. Maybe that's out there. But there's no reason for Mike or any coach to make a proclamation about who is starting come October. And shout out to Sean Cunningham, as always, for his tremendous work.
Always, man. Sean Cunningham. Sean, what did we call him? Something else? I forgot. I think, Jesse, did we have another name for Sean Cunningham? Because he was blown up that time. I think we called him
Shams Cunningham.
I think,
Shams Cunningham. That's what it was.
That's right.
Shams Cunningham. Yeah.
Shout out to him, though, man. But yeah, I agree with you. There's no need to say much of anything to that point right now. It's really one of those things where, like, you know, we'll address that once training camp comes, and then we keep it moving.
Yeah, that's it.
Or you could pull Adam Silver and be like, I'm not answering that.
Well, you could. You could. We could actually run that, I think. let me go to Shams Cunningham's account here real quickly. Let's see. There's Mike. There's Malik's desire to start. It's a lengthy clip. It's 2 minutes, 25 seconds, which that's how long the David Griffin clip is. So if I'm going to devote 2 minutes to David Griffin, we can listen to Coach Mike Brown for a couple of minutes, courtesy of Sean Cunningham and Fox 40.
And I know the question we get all the time from people is how he fits in now. Does he want to let it known that he wants to start from day one as he got here? How do you just see him being kind of accelerating from what you've had previous with Malik?
Well, for the first thing is, you love the fact that he wanted to be here. That's first and foremost. And not only that, you love the fact that he's embraced the city just like they've embraced him. And then he's competitive. You want people on your team that are competitive. I wouldn't be happy with anybody if they were just okay sitting back accepting any role that I told them that they're in. Everybody wants to be the best. It's just like our coaches. If you're the seventh assistant, I wouldn't be happy if you sat here and said, hey, I want to be the seventh assistant the rest of my time here. You want somebody that has a growth mindset and is willing to take on challenges that come with more responsibility. So I applaud Malik for that. Like I said, I applaud the city for loving him the way that they do. At the end of the day, whatever's best for the team, which is what he said on many occasions, is what he's going to do. And I've coached. The good part about me, if there is one in this situation, is I've coached two Hall of Famers that could have started for anybody but came off the bench, and Andre Iguodala and Manu Ginobili. And you talk about between those two guys, I think they have 8 total championships. 7 of the championships might have been won when they were 6 men. So to have somebody as dynamic as Andre Iguodala, as Manu Ginobili, as Malik Monk coming off the bench and embracing their role because that may be best for the team is second to none. That can help propel you to heights that a lot of people don't understand. And so, like I said, I love Malik's competitiveness. But in the same breath, I love the fact that he said he's going to do whatever's best for the team. And so we'll see what happens when training camp comes.
Mike Brown. That was a 2-minute answer from Mike Brown. Salute, Coach.
Hey, man. Hey, I
don't have no problem with it.
I agree with
no problem with how he handled that.
And we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens when training camp comes around. I do believe that if anything, at worst, like maybe not a prom or something like that, but at worst, they're leaning towards starting Malik.
Hmm.
Like, and something will have to happen for them to go away from that, I think.
Do you think they, Mike included, Monty, West, the front office, the team, do you think they were, Afro, I know Afro, he's that caught my attention too. He said Iguodala's a Hall of Famer, ? That's funny.
Yeah, I think he is, though.
I think he probably is.
Like, and this is no, I think this guy's probably a better player, but if we're putting Drew Holiday in the Hall of Fame, Andre.
Well, I think Drew's still got like a little bit of work to do, but
I think if they win the gold medal, I think he's in.
Is that 2 for Drew?
That would be 2.
Two gold medals, 2 championships.
It's like a 6-7 time all defensive guy.
Iguodala was on a
if they lose the gold medal, I think
one's going to the Hall of Fame after that.
none of them make the Hall of Fame. Because they lost.
You imagine LeBron, greatest scorer of all time? Pal, go take a walk.
Yeah, Iggy won in 2012 in London. He was on that team that won in 2012. Mm. Do you think they evaluated Keon Ellis at all in this summer league? Like, do you think this was a true... There was no evaluation with Keegan Murray last year in the California Classic. It was... I really think it was, one, I think it was something for the Golden 1 Center, something for Kings fans, but it was also, hey, go be the man. And he did. Mm-hmm. Do you think that was the idea with Keon, or was it, hey, Keon, we want you to get a little run this summer? And do you think they were truly evaluating what Keon Ellis brought to the floor?
Yeah, I think so. I think they wanted to see maybe my thought would be they wanted to see what he could do scoring wise, if he can impose as well on the offensive end a little more than maybe they originally given him credit for. I don't know if he's passed that test or if he's elevated himself or not in this summer league setting. But I think that was what they were looking for. They knew he could defend. They probably even wanted to see if he could create a little bit more, be a little bit more of a point guard, distribute a little bit more as well. So that might have been something they were looking at too. But I do think they were evaluating what he could do. I'm not sure if they were evaluating what he could do thinking he would start. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, all right, what can he do? Maybe he's the new sixth man. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's see.
Yeah.
Like, can he be the sixth man and provide a scoring punch that maybe will change a little bit if Malik is in the starting lineup? That might have been the evaluation.
And that's one thing that even after our conversation a couple of days ago, that, like, as much as I was kind of like, hey, you know, Kevin still has a role in this. Hey, Kevin could be the starter. In reality, I don't know that Kevin can be the starter. Because if you're going with Kevin Huerter, you're going for deep. You're obviously leaning into your offense.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you're going with Keon, you want that increased intensity on the defensive end. Mm-hmm. Got it. That's pretty clear cut. But if you're going to lean towards the offense, wouldn't you want to lean with Malik Monk?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if that's the direction you want to go, if you want to, like, the offense is our focal point. We know Keon had some big minutes for us. We think he could do that same thing off the bench. We're going to lean into our superpower, as Kenny Caraway on ESPN 1320 would say.
Yes.
I think it would be tough to make the argument to go with Malik over... Sorry. I think it would be tough to make the argument to go with Huerter over Malik if that's your mindset.
Yeah, although you can maybe convince yourself that Huerter gives you enough of that offense. He's not a better player than Malik or anything like that, but he gives you enough of that offense so you can continue to lean into that on the starting role, and then you still have Malik in his bench role coming off. You know what I mean? Like the drop
scoring superpower off the bench.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. I don't think they looked at Keon is a starter for where they want to go. What you said the other day is now staying in my head. What you saw from Monty is staying in my head now. I don't know if they look at, like, they. I want to guarantee playoff team. We, I'm sure, in the walls of the front office and in the locker room, we trying to, you know, get to the Western Conference Finals. I don't know if they look at Keon Ellis as the starting two guard of a team that's getting to the conference finals. I feel like I can make the argument he could with the right people around him. I like Keon, but I don't, like I mentioned yesterday, we're going to take this guy that was undrafted and could barely get on the roster for half of the season last year and be like, we're going into the conference finals with him. That may be how they're kind of approaching it.
I don't have high hopes, but I'm going to see if I can find that clip for you from Summer League because I just want you to hear it the way that I did. We'll come back. We'll talk more Kings basketball. We'll talk more NBA basketball. You want to get in the phone lines? You can. You should. Talk with us, baby. 916-909-1320. Steelo and Casey brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader. ESPN 1320.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Have you kept up at all on the Michael Jackson Sony Music thing?
No.
If you had to wager a guess.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding. If you had to wager a guess, what do you think Michael, like, and you'd be super generic. I don't expect you to have an answer to this. What would you think Michael Jackson's catalog would be worth? Like, if they said his catalog is up for sale now, what do you think that would cost?
My thought would be $2.5 billion.
You want in on this?
I'll go three. I feel like it's got to be at least in the billions.
I feel like it's not in the billions, though.
Yeah, that I'd
start at like 900 million.
I'm flustered by this. Michael Jackson estate has won a tentative court ruling that would allow it to proceed with a $600 million sale of the singer's catalog to Sony Music. Now, for those that are Michael Jackson fans like I am, you know how disgusting that is because Michael hated Sony at the end of his life, like absolutely despised them. But $600 million seems stunningly low to me.
Not even worth more than Shohei Ohtani.
Damn, that's a shoot.
He's almost worth as much as Jalen Brunson when he signs his new contract.
He's worth Jalen Brunson's next deal. Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
Have Michael Jackson's catalog or Patrick Mahomes be your quarterback? It's up to you.
That's wild. What would you take? Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback of your football team, or you get Michael Jackson's.
Feels like Patrick.
Can I make money off of Michael Jackson stuff?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, if I'm a fan, I could do nothing with Patrick Mahomes.
It feels like Patrick Mahomes is going to bring you more money.
Well, no.
I'm not talking about as a fan. I'm talking about as an owner.
Give me Pat.
I just saw an interview.
We live in a world where Patrick Mahomes will bring you more money than Michael Jackson.
I just saw an article this morning.
I'm a Dolphins fan. That's down bad. That's why.
I saw an article this morning that the NFL is aiming, like, their goal is to bring in $25 billion annually.
Well, that's the league.
Yeah, and if I have Patrick Mahomes being, like,
man,
we may get there.
That's crazy.
We may get there. So, I mean, you split that up, that's like, what,
now I got
$800 million a year is what, like, each team would get. I could buy Michael's later.
Well,
music
yeah.
business feels like a scam too.
The music business is 1,000% a scam.
I
but it's
see
a,
that thing you,
I don't know how they make money.
The music business. The music business is a scam if you're an artist. You talking about the documentary?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the documentary is really good.
In a,
how music became free is what it was called.
real quick, the NFL made nearly $13 billion last season before any of the league's 32 teams sold a single ticket, hot dog, soda, or beer.
Imagine going to the podium. Yeah, it was a tough decision, but it was Mike's catalog or Patrick Mahomes, and we just won Pat.
This week, the Packers reported a $60 million operating profit for the fiscal year ending in March 31st. First, that came after bringing in $654 million in total revenue. Yes, Patrick Mahomes. That is crazy, though. I wonder.
Patrick Mahomes, the new king of pop.
Like,
God damn it, Jesse. You get one day off.
Put it on.
You get one day off. Man.
So how can you make money off of Michael Jackson's estate at this point?
If Tyler Perry wants to use a Michael Jackson song in a movie, he has to call the Michael Jackson estate. If Pepsi wants to use a Michael Jackson song, again, nasty, nasty work. Yeah. But if Pepsi wants to use a Michael Jackson song in a commercial, they got to call the Michael Jackson estate.
Do you think over the course of time that's going to add up to $600 million?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know if I got. I'll try to do this quickly.
So, like, for instance, I don't know. I'm just asking. Like, Pepsi, how much is Pepsi being charged for that if they want to use a Michael Jackson song?
I have no idea.
My guess would be like $5 million.
My guess would be no. My guess is it's significantly more than that. Mm-hmm. That's a guess, though. That's a guess. I pulled this up. I know I had seen a stat, and I'm sorry, this is morbid, but like the value of artists after they pass. Mm. And Michael was number one. I think Elvis was number two. Mm. But Mike was number one. This was a
Vegas
quick
shows.
Yeah, like one, and not just but the Cirque du Soleil shows. Mm-hmm. They had one, the Immortal toured. This, I don't know what source this is, man, so play along. But this is generally around the number I saw. Michael died 15 years ago.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. He's earned in death $3.2 billion.
Wow. Ooh. Well, they definitely make their $600 million back and then some.
You might not make it back with one deal, but yeah, you're
over,
making that
over
money
15
back.
Years, you're making that back answer.
Yeah, like what did one have to pay? Because that's name, image, likeness. That's music. That's not knockoff music that's playing in Las Vegas. Right, like that's music. I don't know. I was just stunned to see that number at 600. Because if now I got the Stephen A. thing in my head where. If Sony's willing to pay $600 million,
yeah, right.
What is it worth?
Right, right.
Because if Sony's willing to pay $600 million, I'm looking at that $3.2 million over the last 15 years thinking I've got it made. Billion, yeah, $3.2
billion. If I'm owning the estate, I'm like, are you willing to pay $600 million? Sony? Because I know how y'all are.
Yeah, right.
I know
how
you're willing to pay
$600 right.
Price is going up.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's now $1.5 billion.
And also, let's be clear. He hates you.
Yeah.
Like, despises you. So there's a he hate you tax onto this.
Mm.
And so we're gonna up that a little bit.
I'm a protect the innocent here, but somebody in the chat is saying they're looking at residual pay for O'Shea Jackson. And in a 3-month span, he recorded $6.5 million. That's Ice Cube.
Mm-hmm.
And like his residuals, right? Like, mm-hmm. use my record here, this and that, this mm-hmm. and that. $6.5 billion in 3 months.
$6.5 billion?
Million. Sorry.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
Oh my God.
Oh, in a couple months, Ice Cube be running the world.
Why is he doing the big three? This is a waste. Bro, buy the Lakers.
Okay, $6.5 million in 3 months, though, for Ice Cube. So you got to think the whole point is residuals for Michael Jackson in a 3-month span is probably hundreds of millions.
And I know, like, I know I'm not the only one where I told you, like, on my flight, I watch stuff that comforts me. Michael Jackson, like, so I just put something on that I could just kind of, like, chill to.
Moonwalker.
Since then, I'm listening to Mike every day, whether I'm putting a record on or I'm putting a playlist on. I'm listening. I know I'm not the only person who falls into fits of listening to something over and over and over again. Right. How much money have I made, Mike, just in the last week?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know that. I think his longtime attorney, John, I can't remember, Franco, John something. I feel like he's always had Mike's best interest at heart, and he's always like had the estate's best interest at heart. Mm-hmm. He's been with Mike since like off the wall. Like they've been together forever. But man, his family has a lot to do with this. I hate the idea of Sony, but at the same time, I'm sure he's like, I need to move on with my life at some point. Like, and if I can execute
who
this
else
and
would
move
be,
this along through Sony.
What, Universal Music Group? Like who else would be in the running?
Yeah, there's probably only
two or three.
Yeah, there aren't very many.
And they may not be willing to spend.
Well, they might not. But there also could be a thing like they don't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the number one thing I would look at if I was Michael's estate. Like, what are you going to do with this? Because I don't want it buried. I also don't want it on Togo's ads.
Right, right.
I don't want it on Subway. I don't want every new hip-hop artist or R&B artist wanting being allowed to sample his records.
Yeah.
Like, Mike didn't let people sample his records forever. The first one that I remember, I know that somehow Smooth, like, he liked the Smooth Criminal thing. Mm-hmm. Was it Alien Ant Farm? I know he liked that. But he didn't, the first that I can think of a sample, and we've talked about this before, is Kanye. The PYT sample. Mm-hmm. That's the first one where I was like, man, they really. And Rihanna did it around the same time with Please Don't Stop the Music. Mm-hmm. It was just like all of a sudden you're hearing Michael Jackson samples when you never heard them before.
Mm. Oh, Kyle, that's a good one. SWV with Love Will Be Right Here. And mm-hmm. What was it? Human Nature?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Real quick, I think this was on her doc. I think, but did you see, if that's where it was, you probably saw it. You see when Janet went back to Gary, Indiana?
Mm-hmm.
That was, mm-hmm. That's got to be like a surreal moment. Like, she said she hadn't been back there in like 30 years or something like that and went to the house that she grew up with. Like, that's got to be crazy to go back to Gary, Indiana after everything that you've done in your life and in your career and just to go back to where it started. That's got to be crazy.
I remember driving, we was in that area, right? We were driving to Indianapolis for something. And I was like, I want to go to the house. And we were with someone who was from Indiana. They were like, you don't want to go to Gary, Indiana. I know it sounds cute.
Yeah.
You don't want to go there. It's like, no, I want to go see Mike's house. No, you don't. Just don't. It's a house. Just know that. It's just a regular house. Let's get Raider Todd in here. 916-909-1320. Raider Todd, what's happening, baby?
What's up, guys? You said it right. Raider Todd.
Yes, sir. What up, big dog?
Hey, what's up? Hey, I want to talk about Kevin Herter, but hold on. Turn me up in my headphones.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, headphones on.
No, I hope you got the pun there. Anyway, before I talk about Herter, you guys hung up on me the other day before you gave me TK's number. What's up with that?
Okay, all right, you're coming. Okay, all right.
Raider Todd, you're not getting TK's number.
The thirst levels are a little too high. Well, we need to get you a water bottle.
I got those Raider Niner tickets for you, man. I got them.
No, look, Raider Todd, we said like. We got something going on for the Thou Show. We got something going on at Sky River. I appreciate it, but you ain't got to get the tickets to come
yeah,
kick
just
it
come
with
pull
us,
up
dog.
And hang
just
out.
Pull up, bring the vibes, man, and you good, bro.
Okay, cool. So let's talk about Herter for a second. All right. So what I'm wondering, what his role is going to be with all the new additions and all that, like. So let's rewind back 2 years ago. Obviously, he had a little down year last year and got hurt, but we was rolling when he was in the starting lineup. I mean, when he's playing good, he plays really good with Sabonis, spaces the floor well with Fox. So, you know, if we slip Keon in there for defensive purposes or Monk for offensive purposes, you know, what is – and then obviously Devin Carter is going to come back eventually. What is his new role? Like, I don't know, man. Almost like, don't fix it if it ain't broken. And if he's back to his old self, maybe he should be in that starting role. And then you got Monk and Ellis off the bench, which is my goodness, you know.
I hear you. I hear you. And I agree 100% about, I appreciate you, Raider Todd, agree 100% about Herter having a down year last year, how important he was the year before. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he says if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It might be broke, though. And we could talk about, well, if Herter returns to this and this, okay. So here's my question. Mm-hmm. If I told you, hey, Herter's going to be closer to what he was mm-hmm. the first year, is everyone instinctively like, okay, we'll start him. I'm good with that. Because we're saying if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Got it. Okay, so we've pieced this back together. We know that was a 48-win team. Everybody good with that?
I still go Keon.
Because what I'm asking, is there an opportunity to most of the pieces, DeMar is a major acquisition, no doubt. A lot of the pieces are the same. Can you reposition some of these pieces to be better than a 48-win basketball team? Because we think DeMar makes you better than a 48-win basketball team. But we said one of the most difficult things that Mike Brown has to do now, and he was talking a little bit about this with Sean Cunningham, is you've got to figure out a way to maximize all of these different players. Mm. How to put not just Malik, not just Keon, and not just Kevin Herter in the best positions. Mm. What we do with them puts De'Aaron in a different... Keon starting with De'Aaron impacts De'Aaron in a way that Malik and De'Aaron starting together doesn't, or Kevin. And those guys have effects on Domas. And then you got DeMar trying to figure out his place in all of this. Right. And Keegan, who the entire fan base is demanding, grows into a megastar. And they have a right to believe he's going to be a star. So Keegan Bradley, thank you. Sorry. Keegan and Chris Bradley, great guys. Why is everyone against, maybe fine-tuning this thing a little bit, and maybe it's moving a few pieces around. You have the same guys. It's just, hey, your role is here this time. Mm-hmm. It's not this. Because we did that before. We did this with Kevin. Mm-hmm. We did this with Keon. Mm-hmm. We've never done it with Malik. We think this is going to work. Kevin, we think you're going to excel in this role off the bench. And that's not a diminished, that's not like a loss in confidence in Keon. No, I'll get it right. No, it's good. Just hit the dump button.
Well, Damian doesn't respect the Kings.
It's not diminished confidence in Kevin Herter. It's like, no, I have confidence in you to do what Malik did for us the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. But we think Malik in this position is going to be better. Yeah. And we think there's a way that we could play you, talking to Kevin, we think there's a way we could play Kevin, Keon, and De'Aaron at the same time. Mm. We think there's a way we could play Kevin, Keon, and DeMar at the same time. Like, you have endless combinations of opportunities to be a little bit different than you were last year that could make you better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just go back and forth on this. Me and Jesse talked about it a lot last week. And Jesse, I think I'm back to the point where I think it's you start Malik. I think you start Malik, man. And once again, Damian in that clip may be kind of messing with me, because it feels like Keon starting is out of the question.
Mm.
The more I think about him playing in summer league, Monty talking about it and all this other stuff, it feels like if he was auditioning for something. They were auditioning to see what type of playmaker he can be for that second unit, I believe.
Did we do too much with Keon than last year?
Maybe. Well, no, because he was good.
He was good.
He was good.
And I don't like walk back me thinking I think he has all defensive team qualities.
Mm-hmm.
He has that. He may never get that opportunity to even be considered, but he has that type of ability, in my opinion, on a defensive end. I think he can be a top flight defender, but it doesn't, between him playing in summer league, what Monty said, it doesn't feel like that's your starting two guard. why he's playing in summer league, like my guess as to why he's playing, none of it says that's your starting two. Summer league is almost over and he's still playing.
Yeah, that, yeah.
He needs to not.
Part of me wishes I hadn't heard Monty McNair talk on summer league. And again, Monty didn't say anything.
Right.
He just it.
You're reading tea leaves.
It was specific wording that just, yeah, Keon stepped in and played well for us when guys went out.
Mm-hmm.
That you talk about Keon playing Wednesday in summer league, mm-hmm. not feeling like that's a starting two guard. That single throwaway sentence from Monty McNair did not make me feel like we've got our two guard of the future.
Right.
It was like, okay.
Right.
Doesn't mean there wasn't value in what Keon did, mm-hmm. and doesn't mean that Keon won't bring a lot of value to Sacramento moving forward. It means in the moment when I heard it, I started to question how much Monty and maybe the Sacramento Kings, speaking very in general, really bought into what Keon did in terms of their hopes of becoming a team that doesn't just make the playoffs, mm-hmm. that advances in the playoffs and wins series and becomes a team that, you know, hey, watch out for that more than Mark Spears is saying, hey, watch out for Sacramento.
Yeah. No, that's
where there's six other people who watch NBA basketball on TV are talking about, watch out for Sacramento.
Only six people, too, by the way.
Stan Van is one of them.
Yeah, Stan
Van. He'll rep for Sacramento.
Yeah.
Michael Wilbon.
Mike Wilbon for sure. For sure. Got inside info that might be rocking with Sacramento for sure. Yeah, just kind of feels like that's not going to be his role. They have confidence if something happens, he can step in and be productive. But day one, like I think they go to Malik. I don't know. Maybe I'm at the point of no return, but I think it's time, man. It's time. He's shown in 2 years what he's capable of. More importantly, he's shown, and it's going to be different because DeRozan is there or whatever the case may be, but more importantly, he's shown how he can play with De'Aaron Fox.
Hmm.
And it is on and popping when those two are in the backcourt, mm-hmm. for both of them. Mm-hmm. He doesn't take away from Fox. He seems to add to his comfort level. I'm talking about Malik Monk, and he can still get his work in as well. Seems seamless.
You think adding Malik to the starting lineup adds any wins to this team? Because that's a lot of firepower there too.
Yeah,
like it is a switch. Like it is a chance. But, you're not signing someone new, but it is a difference now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like that's but that's my whole that was my whole point. You just said it in 2 seconds when I tried to say it in 2 minutes. It's not just Malik starting. It's Kevin coming off the bench. Mm-hmm. That could be good. I know Kevin Herter won't like it, mm-hmm. and I understand that, but it could be good for him. It could be, I mean, he's done it, by the way, but it could be what's best for him. He could get robbed of Sixth Man of the Year next year because of some player who started the last month of the season.
Yeah.
Like that could be a thing. Him playing, if Kevin's big shortcomings are on the defensive end and he's playing alongside Keon Ellis, guess what's masked? His defensive shortcomings.
Yeah. And Jordan McLaughlin's a pretty solid defender as well.
And I literally never bring him into any conversation.
Nobody does.
I always forget. Yeah.
Nobody does. But I like him in that role.
Sure.
I like him in that role. Like if you had to have him.
And when Monty claims Russell Westbrook off of waivers later today, it'd be great.
Think about this this 10-man rotation or so. You got the starting five. I'll put Malik in there. And then you're coming off the bench with McLaughlin, Keon, who people think should be starting, Kevin Herter.
Starting or not, he should be playing.
Right, but I was just talking about to the strength of your bench. You got a guy that people believe should be starting coming off your bench. Kevin Herter, a guy who has started in this league, coming off your bench. Trey Lyles, a solid rotation guy, and Alex Lynn. That's as good of a 10, I think, as anybody in the Western Conference. I'm doing too much. That 10, and it really is carried by Keon, Kevin Herter, and Trey Lyles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's the other thing, which we never talk about this. Trey got hurt last year. Mm-hmm. Trey missed a lot of time last year. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Trey returned from injury at the same time someone else got hurt. And I don't know if it was Kevin or Malik.
Might
or
have been Sasha.
Maybe that's what it was. Mm-hmm. Sasha.
Nah.
Sorry, Sasha.
At least he got paid.
Yeah. Absolute.
Oh, by the way, you guys don't know, I read the EuroLeague champion head coach saying if Boston wants the
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, go ahead. Church League winners of Europe, come play the Boston Celtics, bro. See how that ends up.
Yeah. He said if the Celtics want the championship, come get it.
Yeah, we will come. We'll play every team in EuroLeague and beat them by a million. Oh, but they have fans that yell. Awesome, bro.
Jesse took that personal.
I did. I'm tired of the EuroLeague this, EuroLeague that. All right, cool. It's a church league of professionals.
Oh, no.
You good?
I'm great. Coach seems like he's having a hard time, though.
All right.
Oh, man.
You know what my response was?
You going to say it?
It was kind of mean. I don't know. Say it.
Well, you know why I thought about it.
Yeah. I was like, that's the
Well, least. He ain't here no more. You can say
it. He read that quote to me yesterday during the KSFM show. I was like, that's the league that Sasha Vezenkov was the MVP for?
We don't have to play Tatum or Brown either.
All right, man. Settle down.
Oh, man.
All right. We'll come back. Kyle Mattson sent me a clip.
Uh-oh.
Buddy Hield.
Oh.
Buddy Hield talking to the media. I want to hear it.
Warriors rebounded well. Rebounded well.
Lost Klay Thompson, signed Buddy Hield. I really want you to hear the clip of David Griffin talking about Brandon Ingram. Mm. It's probably the most honest thing you'll ever hear.
Mm.
We'll have that for you as well. Phone line, stay open for you know what it is. I haven't mentioned this. Matt George is going to join us.
Eddie McQueen.
We did the Locked On Kings podcast together yesterday. Matt, kind enough to join us here today, coming up in the final hour of the show. That's all ahead. I think somebody said this I don't know if this was sarcastically or not. Brandon said, Sacramento A's schedule discussion in the third hour, please. Why not mention some of the big names that are coming to Sacramento the first time?
I've got dates circled already on the calendar.
We'll talk about it.
Whole family does.
Stephen and Kate, well. Yeah, okay, we'll talk about that in a minute. Stephen and Casey on ESPN 1320. That's funny.
There was another one. He's like, yeah, I picked Underdog and Road to Glory. I haven't even played it. I've been going to class and tweeting this whole time.
Yeah,
it's been 2 years I haven't even played. I can only go to class and tweet.
He's got to go to class.
Oh. They got y'all signing up for some video game mode where you can't even play the video game.
Yeah, you're out the first two seasons.
That is hilarious. See, but it's that type of stuff that makes me want to get the video game console because I think Matt told us about this one day where, like, I want to be, like, a WWE superstar. Like, I could go to the training center and then, you know, go to NXT and become a star. Yeah, that's the stuff
That's what'll be happening. That's what'll be happening on that WWE joint. And they all got them in this game. But these people are besides themselves. One guy was like he was playing at UNC. Do you see where he was like getting the crowd hyped
that
up?
Was hilarious. And I see he retweeted that one.
See, they think they're out there playing like they're Justin Jefferson. When like, bro, you out there playing as you. You out there playing as you.
That was the best.
These dudes are hilarious, bro.
As we hit up the Matthews Mattress Chatty House, remember you can head over to MatthewsMattress.com, find one of the 10 locations nearest you, and sale or not, they have free same-day delivery. They have terrific financing options that you can ask them about by going in there. Don't worry about your current mattress. They'll get that out of there for you. Just head over to MatthewsMattress.com, find the location nearest you, and most importantly,
tell them D-Lo and KC sent you. 10 locations around. Tell them D-Lo and KC sent you.
our man here, Camp, I'm just going to call him Camp so I don't mess this up. Monk's strength is his energy off the bench against opponent's second teams. It benefits the team. Salute. I agree. You're 100 right. That is a strength. But how do we know he can't do that with the starting lineup? How do we know that Malik can't be even better in the starting lineup? We very literally don't, because we don't have a shred of evidence to document it, because he's never once started for Sacramento.
And the only evidence in his career of being a starter is that it's overwhelmingly successful for him.
That's it.
The one instance we have of him starting a number of games, he was way better, like percentage-wise, points per game, all this other stuff, than he's been in his career. So, but that also wasn't with the Kings. Yeah. So, but it looked the same with the Kings. We don't know.
I also want to point out how frustrating the Matthews mattress chatty ass could be, as Amir says, D-Lo, get a PS5, stay away from Xbox. One message later, Son says, Xbox is the best.
I don't get the difference between the two.
Great, thanks, guys.
I don't either.
I don't get the
like
wars.
More people have PS5, so you can play, you know, your people a little bit more. So yeah, get the PS5, dog. Jesse getting the PS5, you getting it? Boom, we in there. I'm in there.
Can you light the beam? Like, do you get to walk over and light the beam?
I don't think, but in 2K,
they should add that.
I thought they did.
There's a beam, right?
I thought they updated it.
Yeah, I think they did add the beam in the 2K24.
Do they have the indoor beam? You know how the beam now allegedly shoots from...
Yeah, from inside all the way? Yeah. That's a good question. I don't think so.
Yeah,
I think they'll have it this year, though.
Sal says the beam is in 2K.
Oh, it's lit. It is lit.
All right.
You got to get 2K25, too.
Again, bro, I don't have a system.
And the boxing game come out in October, bro. It is. Oh, man.
While you're at it, pick up FIFA, too.
Do you like the new FIFA? Like,
I haven't played it yet.
I want the boxing game Jesse plays where he says he's working out.
Oh, that's the VR one you're talking about.
Is that an Oculus?
Yes, Oculus. Joint.
You have an Oculus, right?
No, my cousin had it. I tried it out with this.
I got to get back into the Oculus, man. That's some good stuff. I got to go golfing and all that other stuff.
Bro, I did the boxing thing there, and I was like, I've never felt like soreness in my shoulders like this before or whatever. I didn't even know you could be sore there.
It is the real deal.
You didn't know that you could be sore?
I've never boxed before, bro. Like, I'm a soccer player. We use our legs and stuff like that.
Okay. Just for fun, let's check in with
nice
Siobhan.
Prada bucket.
KC got one of those.
I don't, but that's nice. I wish I did have one like Buddy Hill.
And obviously, Kings fans will have a new reason to let you hear it when you go back up there.
Oh yeah,
you excited to be back in that rivalry on this side now?
You know, fans in Sacramento are passionate too. You know, all love. You know, Sacramento is a team that really looked out for me over the years, and I'm happy for that, but I'm on the other side now, so I'm still all love in Sacramento, though.
Okay. All right, buddy. All right.
All love in Sacramento, huh?
That's what he said.
Let's see what else he said.
Oh.
But I need you to Google what words we can get away with on the radio, because I don't know that I'm allowed
we
to...
We can't, no, because I've looked it over. It's literally, our audience is cool. Just don't say the F word. Don't say the S word.
So I could play the Buddy Hield clip, then.
Like, yeah, it can't be, like, crazy, bro.
That sounds crazy.
No, Buddy Hield's clip is pretty crazy. I'm glad it's all love in Sacramento, but boy, that is a stark change to the clip from before.
Well, he was still hurt.
I understand.
This oh, if you're talking about now.
The background where he was in the background.
Honestly,
and he told Sacramento what to do with.
I think we can get away with that one, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm not. No, yeah, we're not going to do that. Just... Okay, whether we can get away with it or not, we're not going to do that.
I mean, Buddy. Sure. I've been past the Buddy Hield situation. I said he should not be in the same category as Spencer Hawes.
He's not.
What it would be going towards if he gets booed every time.
I don't think he's going to get booed every time.
I don't think he should.
I don't think he will. I think
it hasn't stopped,
it hasn't stopped. That is accurate. It's dissipated a little bit. Okay. Like, because the first one was a bit like, wow, they really did that. I was not prepared for 48 straight minutes of booing Buddy Hield.
When did he come here last? Was it with Indiana or Philly? I can't remember.
Well, if it was Philly, he probably didn't play. But I remember Indiana because he played and Tyrese didn't, and Tyrese was on the bench booing him.
That was funny.
Every time Tyrese did anything, or anytime Buddy did anything, Tyrese would be like, boo!
That's right. That's right.
It wasn't funny because they won.
Yeah, that was not hilarious at all. Yeah, no, he, it should be over. It should be over.
It doesn't have to be over, but
it should be over. We've gotten 2 years.
Shavano's fine.
Marvin's still
getting like making fun of, yeah. Well, no. Marvin's going to be on the floor too often.
Yeah.
I actually don't even know if the Buddy Hield's, the Buddy Hield stuff, I think, is more lighthearted. I like making Buddy Hield jokes. Mm-hmm. I actually don't have an issue with Buddy Hield. I had an issue with him. I had an issue with that clip.
That was crazy.
Because it had nothing to do with nothing.
Yeah, he was playing the Boston Celtics. That
They weren't even talking to him.
He wasn't even on camera.
He was legit, hey, there's a camera. It's probably going to pick up my audio. Let me get this out of there.
It was like, bro, really had to get that off of his chest. There's just no need for that. I feel like Buddy really is just jokes. I don't even think it's...
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it maybe not quite as good of a comp, but he says the booing for Buddy is going to turn into the Kurt Angle, you suck chant. Which they chant you suck at Kurt Angle, whether he's a babyface or a heel, like it doesn't matter. It's just become part of what they do. Buddy might be the guy that the Kings fans just boo forever. But it's
like a
boo,
like a funny.
Unless Miss P's in the building,
well,
then
no,
she'll really.
Miss P and
Brian.
There is no love lost there.
No.
But it's like I want to say mutual respect, but it's still respect. You know, lightheartedness, like the reporter in Any Given Sunday that he. Al Pacino, when he left, he's like, oh, boy, yeah, I got to give it to you. And Al Pacino's like, after he almost broke the guy's nose. Mm-hmm. Like, there would be no ha-ha. And I'm probably going to snuff you if I'm the reporter on your way out.
Snuff you?
he slammed the guy down, broke his nose.
Well, that's not what he did. He just pushed him out of the way. And what'd the reporter say? Did you get that?
He did.
He looked at the camera. Did you get that?
He gets smacked into the benches and goes, oh, this is great. Yeah, this is great.
Did you get that? See, and Tim says that's based off Jim Rome, which is
Jim Rome definitely should have.
I stayed today.
Socked.
If Jim Everett had just beat his ass, none of this would have happened.
Just got socked up. I did a podcast last night about the night. Shout out to my guys over there at the About the Night podcast. And we got on the topic of Skip Bayless. And they were talking about him leaving FS1. And I was pretty tough on Skip. And he's like, yeah, man, I ain't really a fan of him, but you got to give him credit for this. I was like, you ain't got to give Skip no credit. Skip brought out the worst in this whole profession.
Yeah, you absolutely don't have to give Skip. Like, Skip, he's been towing that line before we
knew
who
Skip Bayless was.
Since he was
covering the Cowboys.
Yeah. Yeah,
he brought out the absolute worst qualities of
Troy Aikman hates him to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the stuff, a lot of the stuff that got Skip on the radar was stuff he said about Troy Aikman.
Facts.
And Troy was like, I will not say any. I don't care that he's on FX1. I'm not going to say FS1. I'm not going to say a single nice thing about him.
He built his career off of negativity and disrespect. Mm-hmm. And I don't respect that.
Yeah.
So, but that you talk about Jim Rome, they talk about that was on that doc, the 30 for 30 I saw or whatever. They kind of point to that moment of when things started to change a little bit. And I wonder if it would have been different if Jim Everett would have just socked him.
What
up.
30 for 30?
The media one.
Oh, the media one. Oh, right. Yeah.
And they point to that moment.
Yeah, I swear to you it would have been different.
How did he not sock him up? Like, watching that again. Because
I don't think that's who Jim Everett is.
He went over the desk and pushed him off the chair.
But he's also a lot bigger. Like, he's kind of
making ribs.
Media would have turned that around. You can't do that.
Like, I did it. Just with a little body shot right there.
Drop a little, what you, not advocating.
What you call me? You ain't got to get him in the face. You ain't got to get him in the face. Just
You just need to get your point across.
Yeah, that's it.
And if Jim Everett has got his point across, he would have eliminated a lot of the ridiculousness
Jim
we see
went
today in the media.
Right in the Jim Everett would have went, and then Jim Rohn would have like, and that would have been the end of it.
That very literally would have been the end of all of it. Met Jim Rome, by the way. Very, very nice guy.
Jim Rome's still doing his thing.
He's a very nice guy. And the one thing I'll say about Jim Rome is he works his ass off.
He does.
Like, he does not rely on a team of 50 people to do his work for him.
Yeah, he does.
He busts his ass.
Jim Rome, I got way more respect for Jim Rome than Skip Bayless.
Oh, absolutely. Way, way, yeah, not even not in the even. Same
Skip
conversation.
Skip Bayless is a con man, bro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not even in the same conversation. Jim came to WCW years ago and did his show from there. And
that was crazy what he would do with those things.
Watching him prep, like, he was like, look, I'll do everything you guys need, but I need to settle in and be focused on my show, you know, an hour, 90 minutes before the show. And watching him do that was pretty dope. Because, again, I know in, like, late night TV, there's a team of literally 20 to 30 people who write the stuff that you see Kimmy and Kimmel and Fallon and all of those guys say.
Bill Simmons is one of those guys.
Yeah, and if it was that was Jimmy Kimmel, right? If he had shut that down, maybe we would have been. Maybe he would have been spared.
And that's why he went to sports.
Maybe. I actually think Bill is an extremely talented writer. I remember when I knew of his columns and used to read his columns. We had his books and different things like that. I had never listened to his podcast. First time I heard his voice, I was like, I have no desire to listen to this. I do not want to hear this man speak.
Yeah.
I found his voice incredibly annoying. And
let me tell you why the 86 Celtics are really just, I mean, it's best team ever.
That's kind of what it sounds like, but like 10 times worse.
His book of basketball is really good, though.
No, that's fire. That's really fire. Good. That's fire.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.